Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! That is absolutely superb! Huge cheers go up around Emirates Stadium.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 18th of September. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, Lucas Podolski talks all things Arsenal and FC Cologne. We explore the letter O in this week's A to Z of Arsenal. Our Adrian Clarke is back for another dose of the chalkboard. We kick off the double game week review with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
I'm pleased to say our Arsenal insider this week is none other than former midfielder David Hilliard. David, appreciate your time, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks, Russ. And you?
Yes, not too bad at all. Thank you very much indeed. Before we talk about the trip to Stamford Bridge on Sunday, you were at Thursday's game, your Open League against FC Cologne. What did you take out of the game itself?
Well, it was a great start to the game. I think defensively there was a couple of mistakes early and that unsettled the side. But it was a great first half by Cologne. You know, the atmosphere was really intense with all the goings-on before the kickoff. And I really enjoyed the night. I thought it was some good changes made by the manager, which had big impact on the game.
Well, let's just remind ourselves of all the goals as they flowed in a very, very entertaining night at Emirates Stadium.
Now it's with Elneny, chips it through towards Walcott. Great run, controls, but he takes it too close to the byline, tries to chip it back. Kolasinac on the volley! Oh, I say! 1-1, an immediate impact from the substitute. Less than 4 minutes after the restart, and the Bosnian has done it here.
Here is Iwobi looking for Alexis Sanchez on the left-hand side. It's not the best of balls to the Chilean, but he'll keep it in play. Mera's had to race across. It's still Alexis that has possession. Alexis on the edge of the area, wants to get the curler away. That's a sensational strike. Arsenal lead. Alexis Sanchez is very much back here. That is something special.
Elneny and Nacho Monreal combine once again. Kolasinac hugging that touchline on the left, on the halfway line, finds Alexis. Alexis tries to knock it back toward Kolasinac and Kandu. Racing forward, edge of the area, looks to find Wilshere, leaves it for Walcott. Inside the area, gets the shot away, Horn with a save. The follow-up here goes in! It is Hector Bellerin following up inside the box. And Arsenal lead by 3-1. And the Gunners have really turned it around in this second half.
OK, so Arsenal taking that 3-1 as we just heard, Dave. A few fringe players got their chance. Who impressed you?
Well, I mean, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, when he made that transition into the midfield second half, he looked really good. I thought Alex Sanchez, I think he was a little bit down at first, but came up with a great finish at the end. There was a lot of lively work up front. Impressed me. Nacho at the back, second half, I thought he really pulled the team together. And the whole second half performance, really, they really, really stepped out from the first.
And then, of course, that led with some good momentum into the weekend. I was at Stamford Bridge on Sunday to see the goal of straw, but one where I think few would argue that Arsenal were the better side.
Yeah, I think they showed a great resilience. And, you know, I didn't really mention Kolasinac in that first game against Cologne, but he impressed me at Cologne. Got his start at Chelsea, was very strong. And I think that set the tone for the whole game against Chelsea. There were some strong challenges, good resilience from the side. Made enough chances to win the game, I feel, as well. Really unsettled Chelsea. It's been difficult the last few seasons going there. And they showed a lot of character. I think, you know, we've got a lot of people on their side at the moment.
What I really liked, David, as well, was the intensity of Arsenal's performance, the ground they covered, but in a very targeted and measured manner. There seemed to be more of a structure and at times just more of an overall plan to how to beat a team of Chelsea or at least contain them enough to get the point in the end.
Yeah, definitely. I think there seems to be that system seems to be working. I think since the Bournemouth game, they've really, you know, got it together. It's been a decent run of games. The Chelsea game was going to be the difficult one. We've got Doncaster coming up and then West Brom. So there's a good run of games where we can maintain that system and keep working on it. But I was listening to Aaron Ramsey after the game saying the way they played slightly higher, it allowed them to recover into their defensive positions quicker. And that's where it all starts, in the recovery to your defensive position. Because if you don't concede goals, you can't lose games.
Well, let's hear a bit from Aaron Ramsey speaking post-match.
Yeah, I think we needed that against a top team to come here. You know, in recent years, we've struggled, but we showed today what we're capable of doing. We're capable of competing against the best. And we showed solidarity. We showed that we can create chances against them. And on another day, we perhaps might nick that, but it's what we needed after Liverpool.
Aaron Ramsey there. And I guess the other key point as well, David, is this being the norm now for Arsenal, away from home, up against other teams in and around the likely top six. The Liverpool performance, you want to be the blip and this to be the kind of benchmark.
Yeah, well, I think they've definitely set the tone of what they need to do, how they need to approach these games. The manager's made some good changes, as I say, and it's worked in the side. I think the only disappointment for me, if any, was I think Lacazette was just a tiny bit off his game, but the manager was quite happy to bring him off and, you know, change it. And I think that shows that the team are adapting to those big games, like you say, and learning to sort of maybe have a slightly different game plan when you do go away to one of the top six sides.
And that positioning, I think, that you touched on already, and you would know, of course, having played in and around that position yourself, that Ramsey-Xhaka combination did seem a lot more sturdy and a lot more effective, I felt, this time around.
Yeah, I mean, Granit sat a little bit deeper and let Aaron go off and do his little turns and twists and try and open play up. And I think, you know, looking at his last couple of games, Aaron Ramsey's looking very confident in that role, and he's revelling in it a little bit. You know, he's enjoying it, which is good to see. And we just need a tiny bit more end product, but that will come. But like I say, I think the main thing is to start with the defensive side of things, the shape of the side, and the grit and the resilience. We saw some really heavy challenges going in, but not just that, the closing down had a good intensity and good structure about it, which sometimes we've had the intensity but not the structure. And at that level, you'll get punished. But we certainly showed that we can compete with one of the best midfields in the Premier League.
And finally, to get a point for the first time in six attempts and get a clean sheet for the first time in 12 attempts at Stamford Bridge, it's a big statement. And I'd like to just highlight Laurent Koscielny. I thought he was immense at the back. I thought he led brilliantly.
Yeah, it was very strong. I mean, we know that Morata's dangerous. You know, his aerial presence, and he showed he's got a lot of pace as well. He was Chelsea's quickest player on the day. Handled him really well, Kosh did, and so did Mustafi. I think, you know, it would have been easier for him to sort of come back in the side and have some mistakes in his game, but he kept it really tight. I think, you know, they played really well across the back, all together.
And as we let you go, mate, we're about to hear from Lukas Podolski as the next part of the show. Any favourite pod moments on field or off for you?
Well, I have seen a video of him. Seen a few funny videos. He's pretty good at those, but I think he'll be he sticks out in my mind best for just coming off the bench and smashing some goals in. You know, I think everybody knows he had one of the hardest strikes ever. Too many to mention for me when he comes off the bench. I think he was the highest goal scorer from substitutes in the season, his last season. So, you know, he's obviously a good striker of the ball.
Yeah, and the crowd rising as a result, as you say, to some stonking finishes. David Hilliard, really appreciate your time and thank you for once again being our Arsenal insider.
Thanks very much, bro.
Lukas Podolski is a serious cult hero for both FC Köln and for Arsenal. A former Germany international spoke to Arsenal media's Nick Brumsack ahead of his former teams playing each other last week.
Do you still get to watch a lot of Köln games and a lot of Arsenal games as well?
Yes, because, you know, always, you know, as a footballer, you know, of course, first you're playing on the pitch, but as well as the life off the pitch. And no, I have great memories as well, of course, in Cologne, because I'm from Köln, but as well in Arsenal, you know. From the first day, I feel well in the club, with the players, with the coach, with the staff, and with the fans, and you know, they make a song for me, and always good atmosphere, always passion, and you know, I'm still in love with the fans of Arsenal, and I'm a Gunner, and you know, I'm looking forward to coming back one day, you know, to visit the stadium, to visit the team, and you know, to say hello to the fans, and you know, because you know, my heart is always there, like in Cologne or in Istanbul, where you always remember something when it's something good, and you know, this station was good so far. So that's why I always, you know, always a Gunner in my heart as well.
It always seemed as though you had a very special relationship with the fans, not only in Köln, but in London as well, with the Arsenal supporters. That was something that you always seemed to place a great emphasis on.
Yeah, because it's always important, as I said before. You know, okay, you're a footballer, you play for the 90 minutes, but as well, a club is as well, the fans are the club as well. The fans are been always there, you know. Wenger, Podolski, or Özil, Mertesacker, you know, they always be changed on some days, and new players will come, but the fans and the heart and the logo and everything will stay forever. So that's why, you know, the fans are always something special, and the fans was special as well. The stadium, the logo, the Gunners, you know, and you know, the Asian tour, what we did was great, and you know, I have a lot of memories, and this is always good when you finish your career and you know, you have great 3 years in London with Arsenal. You have great memories in Istanbul or in Japan or in Munich or in Köln. So this is always important. And when you finish something, you have great memories on and as well off the pitch. And this is important always for me and the fans as well.
What are the standout memories from your time at Arsenal?
It's difficult to pick one because, you know, I always get the question, what was your best goal? But it's difficult to say because, you know, every moment is something special for a situation, you know. You know, my goal and at Anfield, you know, for Arsenal, you know, the derbies against Tottenham, and but as well when I came off the bench to the warm up in the Emirates and the fans stand up and singing my name, and this is always, you know, there are always memories for that as well. Not only after scoring a hat trick and you are a hero, but as well the small things, like I say. You're standing up for the warm-up, Wenger sending you to warm-up, and the whole stadium standing up and shouting your name. So this is always something important. Or the picture with the fans in Tottenham, with the fans in the stands. This is, you know, as well a great memory. And the Asia tour and, you know, other things, other goals, and the Champions League goal, the volley, and there are a lot of things, but as well, or not, of course, London, the city, the people who are working for Arsenal, the staff, you know, always friendly, always helpful, and you know, you just have to come there, take your boots, and playing soccer, and you know, this was something you know, great in the club, and that's why Arsenal is a big and a great club.
You mentioned that picture. I was actually going to ask you about it at White Hart Lane after we beat Tottenham there. Those derbies always seem to be especially big and especially important for you, and you really seem to embrace the culture of beating Tottenham.
Yeah, of course. You know, you're playing football, but you're playing as well derbies, and derbies are always something special for me. You know, I come from a generation who always fight on the pitch, like, you know. Now the derby is becoming like a little bit too friendly for me. So I'm, you know, when there's something important, a derby, you know, for me it's always important. You have to fight on the pitch, you have to fight off the pitch. you have to get a yellow card, or you have to, you know, get the fans to motivate and everything. So that's why always derbies are always for me something special.
The A to Z.
Or Charlie George, who can hit them.
O is for Ozil. Mesut signed for the Gunners on deadline day in 2013 for a then club record fee from Real Madrid, and he's lit up the Emirates ever since.
It's a lovely touch from Giroud, sets Ramsey away. Brzezinski in the middle. Ramsey's picked out. Oh, what a finish! And it's the first goal for Arsenal for their record signing. It's Arsenal 1, Napoli 0. It's going to be Mesut Ozil. Beautiful goal! Wonderful technique, and Arsenal have doubled the lead. Arsenal are rampant. Theo Walcott into the penalty area. Back to Mesut Ozil! 2-0 to Arsenal! This is superb stuff, and they've doubled the lead.
O is also for another left-footed magician, Marc Overmars. Marc was instrumental in the Gunners' double-winning season of 1998, scoring a vital goal in the FA Cup final, the day the title was won as well against Everton, and of course in the title decider against Manchester United.
Petit's pass, and it's over.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He's passed to Sterling! And Arsenal have taken the lead! Well, one Dutchman may be missing, but the other one is there. And already he's left his mark on the 1998 FA Cup final, Marc Overmars. And Overmars is still going forward. It's Marc Overmars, and another one! Well, no wonder they hold up the trophy. It must be going Arsenal's way now, the crowd. Watching brief for Ian Wright. That's a mistake by Ball, and Elton got his head to it, and Overmars can roar past Watson here. Wonderful, wonderful goal for Arsenal. Oh, it's Overmars. He's done it this time. Arsenal have scored a Premiership goal at Old Trafford, and it could well be a winning goal in this match and a double over United this season.
That final goal was scored at another O, Old Trafford. The Gunners would secure another double there in 2002, courtesy of Sylvain Viltord.
Oh, a mistake by Silvestre. And here's Viltord. And Ljungberg, he's in again. Pushed out by Barthez. Viltord! Arsenal have scored yet again in the Premiership, and it might just be the most important goal of the lot. Sylvain Viltord. Yes, says Arsene Wenger.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Adrian Clark joins me at the Chalkboard. Clarky, wearing your own clothes.
Yes. You lent me some clothes last week, didn't you? You bailed me out because I came down to London and forgot my wardrobe, basically. I had lots and lots of people come up to me in the streets saying how well I looked. So it was remarkable. It was quite a pleasant surprise.
I saw you at Craven Cottage. You were both covering Fulham Hull. You were there basically in your underpants saying, I've forgotten all my clothes. Help me. What did I do? Went home. We're both 5'10", both about 12 stone. Yeah. Lent you a full pair of changes of wardrobe to get you through.
But not underpants, no. I have to state.
Stayed with those. And you aren't getting with them back today, I believe, as well.
I've got them with me if you need.
Clarky, it was a pleasure to help you out.
Yeah, thank
you
very much.
Good to have you back, clad in your own attire. And first of all, question at the Chalkboard. What next for Theo Walcott?
Oh, good question. He needs to train well. I think first and foremost, because it's difficult for him with a new formation, there is no obvious place for a natural winger. I've been in his situation, by the way. I was a natural winger, and Arsenal at one point during my time here went to wing backs. I wasn't a wing back, yet I wasn't really seen as a striker either. And in those days, we didn't have the guys floating behind the front. So I know where he's coming from at the moment. What he needs to do is train hard. He needs to catch the manager's eye and take the opportunities that he does get. And I'd imagine he'll get a chance against Doncaster in the Carabao Cup and in the Europa League. And look, if he plays really well in those games, if he scores goals, then he's got a chance. And I would say he's got best chance of playing up front. If anything were to happen to Lacazette or Giroud, maybe he'll get his opportunity as a striker. Failing that, maybe he needs to turn himself into a wing back. I just don't see him doing that job. So I think a striker is his best chance of getting a game long term. But he's just got to be professional, keep his head, and not get too dispirited. Because if he loses confidence by being out the side, then he's going to find himself in a vicious circle. And unfortunately, he won't get those opportunities I'm talking about.
And we think about, obviously, the Europa League to keep returning, the Carabao Cup, as you've said this midweek. Yeah. For he and for quite a few other players, these opportunities hopefully will keep coming, and particularly when you see someone like Danny Welbeck coming off injured in the game at the weekend.
You always get injuries, and we've seen a potential problem for Danny. We don't know the extent of that yet. So, look, throughout the course of a season, everybody gets a chance. And look, Theo Walcott, OK, he's not featured much so far this season since it all began. He scores goals. He scored a lot of goals last year. He can make things happen. It's just at the moment, he's becoming a forgotten man. It's down to him to ensure we don't forget him. And he's got the opportunity, I would imagine, in the cup competitions to remind us and the manager what a destructive player he can be.
OK, so West Bromwich Albion next up in the Premier League. Looking forward to commentating alongside Stephen Hughes for us for that one. That's going to be a real interesting challenge. I'll never forget last Christmas. Was it Boxing Day with Giroud's header? Yeah. Right at the death, and you and I were together.
You got quite excited, didn't you, Russ? Oh,
it was vital. Vital, that goal, wasn't it? That's the first thing that comes to mind when I think of this fixture.
Yeah, you burst my eardrums that night, I tell you. It's a tough fixture. It's a tricky one because they're just awkward to play against, aren't they, West Bromwich Albion? We know what they're about. They're not pretty on the eye. But they can, if you're not at it, they can make life extremely difficult. And Arsenal were made to wait extremely late for that winning goal. So, we've got to be on our game for this one.
And the Baggies started the season very well. They were second in the early table for a while, weren't they? They've tailed off a tiny bit, but they're still getting some decent, solid results.
They're not going to score a load of goals. I think that much is obvious. I like Rodriguez. I think up front, he gives them something different. They haven't had in recent years. Phillips is a really good creator down the right-hand side, very powerful winger. So they've got good players. Krikoviak, who's just come in at central midfield.
He's a nice little pickup, wasn't he?
Yeah, they've got decent talent, but Tony Pulis is not an attacking coach. When he sends his team out, it's primarily with a clean sheet mentality, and that's what they're about. And he's got a very solid defence. He's got three centre-halves in there. He's got Gareth Barry in front of the back four. I think that was a really astute signing. So, and of course, I think he'll equal, won't he, Ryan Giggs? Mm. No, I think he will break Ryan Giggs' record against Arsenal if he features. But history might be made.
And Kieran Gibbs, potentially, up against his old club. An opportunity at, 27 to just have that next stage of his career go in a maybe slightly more kind of targeted way, shall we say?
He needed it. He just needed it. He's been a really good player for Arsenal, very reliable down the years. I'll never forget his contribution in that 2014 Cup final. Arsenal wouldn't have won the Cup without his sterling work that day at Wembley. And, yeah, we wish him well. I just felt that he'd gone a bit stale here. He needed a fresh challenge. And hopefully he'll get plenty of opportunities for West Bromwich Albion. I'd imagine he will give them a whole new dimension. They've needed a left-back for a long time, West Bromwich Albion. They've had piecemeal players plonked in there for a while now. He's a natural, and I think he'll fit in just fine.
Love that analogy. Piecemeal players plonked in. That's really well described. If you were Arsenal, we'll come on to the team talk, of course, in a second, but on a wider sphere, if you're going to try and break down a team that is that physical, that defensively minded as West Brom, do you just keep plugging away a la last season, or is there more to it?
You've got to be nimble, I think. You've got to be sharp with your interplay. I was really impressed with the passing, the quick 1-2s and the triangles against Chelsea. I thought they were outstanding at times. Chelsea didn't live with them. West Brom won't either. You've got Gareth Barry, he's not got great legs. I think you're looking at a few of the players and there are certain weaknesses. Actually, I was going to say you don't go too aerial against West Bromwich Albion, and I stand by that. But what happened last year was that plan A didn't work, and we did go aerial, and that's when Olivier Giroud came on and made the difference. So you've always got to have two or three game plans up your sleeve if the first one doesn't work.
OK, then. So what is, if you are Arsene Wenger, preparing for the game, what is your five-second team talk pre-West Brom?
Speed. Speed, speed. Fast start, fast movement, fast passing, and kick the ball out for throw-ins, not corners.
Clarky, loving your work. High time we went toe-to-toe in another part of the show, which is the Brain of Arsenal.
Brain of Arsenal.
The Arsenal Weekly podcast editor Liam Roberts joins us in the studio, talking of attire, Liam, looking snazzy.
Yeah, so who's going to be wearing what next week? We're going to have a mass change of clothes.
I'll try Clarkie's clothes next week. Yeah, let's do it.
Is that going to be the forfeit? Is that it?
Well, talking of Butler for the day, of course, is the Brain of Arsenal potential forfeit. We've almost had a little bit of
that. I know, she didn't give me that shirt. That shirt would have been much, much better, I've got to say. But anyway.
Well, top shirt, I'll get that for myself for the show.
Audio podcast, come on, guys. Audio podcast. Okay, so last week, Adrian, you beat Russ with John Lukic. John Lukic beat Dennis Bergkamp. So, So, Russ, you came up with a new topic, the Brain
of
Arsenal.
I did, which is the Emirates as a stadium. So, Emirates Stadium, building history, up until it started.
Nice and vague, I like it, nice and vague. So, so your choice this week, do you want to go first or second?
I'll get it out of the way, let's go first.
Okay, so four questions on Emirates Stadium.
Good luck, Russ.
Thank you.
Starting now, can you name the two bridges that pass over the Northern City Railway line that connect Drayton Park to the stadium?
One of them's Danny Fisman.
Correct.
Oh! The one I don't ever use, because that's not the way I come. Oh! Well, I was literally reading this on the tube on the way in, where I, again, didn't come across the bridge. I can't remember.
The Ken Fryer Bridge. Should I give half a point for that?
No.
OK. It's brutal, brutal.
Aye, aye, aye.
OK, question two. Which royal officially opened the stadium?
It was Prince Philip, because the Queen had a back injury.
Outrageous.
You're not going to make up the point.
That's not try.
Okay, what is the official capacity of the stadium?
60,432.
Correct. And what date was the stadium officially opened?
Now, I think officially opened was the Dennis Bergkamp testimonial against Ajax, and that was the 22nd of July 2006.
Correct.
Oh, he's good, isn't he?
Three out of four.
Three and a half to most people.
I think the question was name the two bridges.
Excellent effort, Russ. Well played.
Not going to lie to you, I'm rooting for Russ this week because it is very difficult to get more questions than John Lukic. So,
the man with the hardest handshake in the history of sport.
It's not one of the questions, man. Here we go. John Lukic, when was John born?
What? You want the whole day to birth?
Yeah.
I did look at it. I think it's December.
What are you complaining about?
December 1960.
Yep.
I think it's my favourite now. 11, my favourite number.
Correct.
Oh.
Okay, question two. How many consecutive seasons was John an ever-present at Arsenal?
Oh. I know that he had three purple patch seasons. I think it was 87, 88 and 89. I'm going to go for three.
Correct.
Oof.
Okay, what does John share in common with the following players?
Yeah.
Peter Shilton, Steve Grzegorzewicz and Stanley Matthews.
I know it. I know it. Sorry, Russ. He, unbelievably, actually, what an achievement this is. He played across four different decades. He played in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s and the noughties. Tremendous achievement.
Correct. Yeah,
that was naughty.
OK, and for the win, how many clean sheets did John keep in the 1988-89 league-winning campaign?
Oh, yeah. Well, this will be pure guesswork. I will go for... unlucky for some, 13.
It was 23.
23?
23 clean sheets.
That's incredible.
Okay,
so with my half point,
I was shrewd, wasn't I?
It's a score draw. So it's one of second draw of the season.
Mm. It's a big draw for me, though. Big draw.
Yeah. So what we're going to do this week? Do we want to change?
I'd like to stay personally because there's a huge amount we've not even gone into for our listeners about Emirates Stadium.
Yeah. So Russell, would you like to change? Please change.
Well, just purely on the basis that you asked me to change, I'm going to refuse.
Okay. Oh, more work for me. Okay.
The horns relock. On Lukic v Emirates. I love
all you've got to remember is I've got to go really deep on the next one.
Yeah, that is true. That is
no
true.
One's ever won trying to do three straight weeks on a topic.
Well, locked in now. Score draw next week. The rematch, Emirates Stadium versus John Lukic.
Thank you very much, Liam. Clarkie, when can we see and or hear you again?
I'm in a short break, actually. I will be back to do the breakdown after the West Brom game. So I imagine that'll be up on Tuesday evening.
And we'll catch you a week today, of course, on this show.
The final word.
The final word this week belongs to an invincible. On this day, in 1998, Freddie Ljungberg made his debut for the Gunners and did this.
Over Mars again. Oh, Hughes. I don't know whether he's looking for Ljungberg, but he's found him. What a way to start an Arsenal career. Frederik Ljungberg on as a substitute for his debut in the English game, and he scores against Manchester United.
Well, that's full-time on this week's show. Our thanks to Lukas Podolski, to David Hillier, and, of course, to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing on the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and find us on Acast these days. Remember, get your questions into Clarkie for the Chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We're back on Tuesday, the 26th of September, due to that Monday night clash against West Brom. We'll bring you all the reaction from that game. And until then, it's bye for now.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.